My longtime friend and creative partner, Keith Lamb, who was a rock star for many years when he was lead singer for the band Hush and wrote songs for Status Quo and more, was living kind of a rarefied existence, Jackie. And he was used to being interviewed and used to being complimented, but he felt that he didn't have real, genuine connections with people. So when the rock life slowed for him, he came to me and he said, it's called TAOC, The Art of Conversation, and this was something he really wanted to work on. And I thought about it for a while, and I'm a naturally very shy people, but a bit of a conflict there because I'm also very interested in people and want to know and learn more about them. But the shyness, you know, people invite me to a party and I go, oh, no, do I have to go, you know? So Keith and I spent a lot of time together talking about this idea, and we believed that we just lacked some starting points, some reference points maybe to have great communication. We also felt that we lacked practice. And I think that's something that's really, really important. So we set about researching and trialing and developing ways to find out what made a good conversation. And by good conversation, I mean a conversation that's balanced, interesting, and involves more than somebody delivering a monologue in the presence of a witness, which is probably exactly what I'm doing right now.
But my next question is, what does make a good conversation, do you think, then?
Well, I think a good conversation is where everyone involved in that conversation is heard, where people really listen. And one of my favourite parts in our guidebook is about listening being more than simply being quiet while the other person is talking. It's more than just thinking up your next comment. It's genuinely trying to imagine what they're talking about and feeling some empathy. So I think it's that. I also think it's subject matter. I'm sure we've all got conversations that we have with various people and you think, I've heard all this before, because the same person's talking about their health. We must remember that how are you is actually not a question, it's a greeting. Nobody really, not many people anyway, want to hear about our indigestion. So it's the topics as well. And we have another belief that really, if you're not prepared to write it down and sign it, then you probably shouldn't be saying it. So it's getting people out of conversational ruts. It's a bit anti-gossip. It's a bit anti-celebrity, much as we all love a good celebrity story. You know, we sometimes wonder, why are we so interested in these people that we probably don't know, we'll probably never meet? What about some real relationships with people that we genuinely do meet? So I think it's topic, I think it's timing, you know, which are the great topics, which lead to further discussion and which don't, you know? And are you talking about ideas and thoughts and feelings, or are you just sort of having a whinge or going over the same old acorns?
Louise, why do you think that we need help in getting conversations going now, perhaps more than ever before?
Well, I think today life is so busy, and I'm sure every generation says this, but today there are so many families where both parents work, people work long hours, and I feel that most of even our leisure moments are accounted for, you know. We connect on Facebook and we text and we email, and that's great stuff and I use it too, but I don't know that there's always a completely genuine connection. You know, there's something about face-to-face communication, because it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. So I think we need this now. I mean, an extended family gathering, meeting for Sunday lunch at Grandma's when everybody sat around and spent the afternoon together, that was once a typical part of life for many people, whereas nowadays, sitting around talking, unless it's about, you know, moving your business forward or about planning or scheduling, it can almost be considered a waste of time. And I think that's sad, and I also believe, and I think some research backs us up here, that lack of communication can lead to some really terrible things in society, like family breakdown, homelessness, school dropout, because everybody needs to be heard. And the thing about formalising this communication was when people know that they're going to be heard, they will actually sit back and listen attentively to the person who's speaking. So I think it's very important. Family
yeah.
dinners are a bit out the window, and children aren't learning language as well as they should because they don't always have as much time in conversation with adults.
That give and take as well. I'm speaking this afternoon with Louise Howland, who's one of the creators of TAOC, or the Art of Conversation game. Louise, it was interesting because I was talking with someone the other day. They related the story of their grandparents who've been married for 70 years. And he was saying that his grandparents don't even really talk to each other anymore. They kind of just cohabit. They still love each other, clearly, but don't really talk. Do you think that we can truly run out of conversation with people that we don't know, or that we know too well?
I think after 70 years, they have the final word on that one. Because, yes, of course you get to know people very well and you can communicate telepathically, I'm sure, after that amount
yes.
of time. You also see a lot of couples dining out in restaurants, and I have a little game with myself and think I can pick the ones who've been married for a long time because they're just sitting there not talking. And a pause and a comfortable silence is wonderful. I mean, God bless people who have nothing to say and have got the good sense not to say it, you know. There's something to be said for silence. But I think as we continue to grow and develop as human beings, that things change, and we should never assume and presume that we know somebody so well that we know what they think and we know what they're wanting. I think it's dangerous territory.
I think it's really interesting too that you've come up with a couple of different versions of this for children specifically, as well as one for adults more generally. Children, it seems to me that they are embracing the technology so much, but then that does lead, as you say, to maybe not having those face-to-face conversations or even telephone conversations. I remember when I was young, I used to get on the phone to my friends and yak for hours and be told to get off the phone, you're tying it up. But my children barely pick up the phone. They just want to be sending texts.
That's interesting, isn't it? And I think you're quite right. I think it's important that we do encourage that face-to-face communication in children. Probably our greatest reward for developing the Art of Conversation series has been the response to the children's version. It is available as an app, and this is kind of a halfway measure because children can get on, they use the app, but they use it when they're in the same room. We often use it in the car. The fact that children love the Art of Conversation has been so exciting for me, and I think they love it because it gets them exactly what all children want, and that's the attention of their parents and their friends and their family. You know, they really want to share, but often the communication with children is so one way. We're asking, we're expecting them to tell us. We pick them up from school and we say to them, "What did you do at school today?" And do you know the answer to that one, Jackie?
Good.
You know,
it was fine.
Fine, yeah. Nothing, nothing. Because it's the wrong question and it's the wrong time, you know. And it's, as parents, we can just trot out these cliched questions because we're busy too. We have put in a no screens policy from Monday to Friday. It's very difficult sometimes to not just think we'll flick the telly on. But we do that because it's later on when things have quietened down. If you set up that scenario, your children will join in. And the beautiful part for adults is suddenly there's a big benefit to us because they'll listen to our stories as well, you know, which doesn't always happen. But if we listen to them with respect, then they listen properly to our responses too. And for their future lives, Jackie, don't you think it's amazing what we teach children? Rivers, history, dates, all sorts of things. And yet the one key area that is so vital for their success in life, i.e. their relationships at work, their family relationships, the most important thing. But we kind of leave that education to chance, you know?